I invite you to please turn to the book of John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. One verse is our text, and it's verse 1. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I don't know about you, but nearly everyone I speak to believes in God. In spite of their wicked lifestyles, they believe. Although they don't believe the Bible, they believe in God. Many have not repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, but they believe in God. Some who are able never darken the doors at church, but they believe in God. Aside from the fact that there is no desire for righteousness, holiness, purity, or spiritual things, many people still confess, "I believe in God." One time I was told that this one individual had read the Bible through, and after finishing the book of Revelation, he found it to be so incredible that he concluded that the Bible was not true. And then I was told, "But he still believes that's what is important." Now that might seem funny to us, but we cannot be amused at knowing the dire consequences of such a view. Is simple faith in the existence of God sufficient to carry us to heaven? Can I deny everything revealed by God and still trust that my acknowledgement of Him will take me to glory? Can I reject the Son of God, maintain my faith in God the Father, and be assured of eternal life? The answer to these questions is a resounding, emphatic no. Now, in our society, we see what is termed easy believism. This is when a confession of belief is produced in spite of the lack of understanding, repentance, true faith, and commitment rooted in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To say you believe is all that is necessary. That's what's being taught. Raise your hand at invitation time or walk an aisle. Well, these things show that you believe. And these are common teachings in our society. But now, after years of high-pressure evangelism, departure from clear, true gospel preaching, and easy believism, nearly everyone accepts their belief in God to be the means whereby you are justified from their sins. I believe, you believe, everyone believes. Isn't that great? Well, I direct your attention to the text. And what we find is the Son of God demanding more than just a belief in the Father. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So I want to think about these matters as we cover this thought. And the title of the message is Believing. Believing. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house and thank you for the salvation we do have in Jesus Christ. And we come together in your name today. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just desire to honor you. And I pray that you bless this word as it goes out today, that which you've laid upon my heart to share. And just speak it to everyone here. And we do ask if there's any in our midst today that have been deceived in this area, that have been duped into thinking that just a few utter words like casting a spell is sufficient for them, or doing this short deed or whatever, and they truly do not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would convict them by the Holy Spirit. Open up your word to their hearts and draw them to yourself. And we pray that you would grant repentance and faith, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us to apply these things. And let us be good witnesses for you. And as we share the gospel, let us share it as you taught us to share. And so we ask that your will be done. We commit this time to you. And we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to think about believing today. John chapter 14, verse 1. Now, in order to do this, I would like to first of all offer you a few New Testament examples of believers. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And in verse 70, Jesus makes the declaration and he says unto them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Now we know that speaks about Judas Iscariot. And Judas was one of the chosen 12 apostles. And Jesus just makes it very clear here, one of you is a devil. But I assure you that Judas Iscariot had an understanding, a belief in Jehovah God. And I am absolutely convinced that he even offered a belief in Jesus Christ. After all, he did follow him for 3.5 years. And he was used of God in many ways as apostles would be. But he wasn't a true apostle. He wasn't a true Christian because he was a devil. And Judas Iscariot, I believe, is an example of a person who appears to be a believer but is not. Stay right there in John chapter 6 because I'm going to come right back there. But I want to offer you a second example. And I'm going to read out of the book of Acts chapter 8. And in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, in verse 13... there's a discussion there where many people had believed, and one of the people that believed was a fellow by the name of Simon, and he was called Simon the Sorcerer. And through that text, as the gospel was being preached in Samaria, Simon makes a profession. Verse 13, it says, "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering, and beholding the miracles and the signs which were done." But Peter comes down a little bit later, and there's some discussion in between about Simon, and he thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit and that kind of a thing. But down in verse 23, Peter and his understanding of Simon makes this statement about Simon the sorcerer. He says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And I'm convinced that Simon the sorcerer, it says that he believed. Well, a lot of people were believing, but he was one to believe, but he was still in the bond of iniquity. He had made a profession of faith, and he was baptized, and he listened to Philip preach. But he just wasn't genuine. Did he have some sort of faith? I think that he did. He had some sort of acknowledgement. But back in John chapter 6, a third example, this is a general statement, but in John chapter 6, just some of the disciples that had followed the Lord Jesus Christ, listened to Him teach, listened to Him preach, verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." Everything was fine and dandy up till then, until the preaching got a little bit tough there in John chapter 6, and the people said, "We can't take this," and they walk off. They did not follow Him anymore. John will tell us and clarify for us in 1 John how that they went out from us because they were not of us. He says, if they were of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So we have people here that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with Him, talking with Him, had the appearance of believers, but they at one point decided to go away, and they never followed Him anymore. And turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But let me make it very clear, I'm showing you the negative examples. There are many, many positive examples. People who believe, people who are saved. We don't minimize the statement of believers. We don't try to do away with the terminology. It's right to believe. But I'm just showing you the examples of Scripture. There are some who appear to be believers, but they are not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find in this statement here, the Apostle Paul teaching the church at Corinth about, well, just read verse 14 and verse 15 about the spiritual, the negative things, the demons and all that, they can appear spiritual. Verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Here you have some people that are evil workers, but they're transformed as to be workers of righteousness. Now if they're going to be workers of righteousness, do they not have to have a profession? Do they not have to have a testimony, a claim to say, "We believe this," even though they don't really believe it? So I submit unto you that angels of light, they transform themselves into angels of light. They have the appearance and they have the walk and the talk, but they are not really saved. And I would remind you of another passage in the book of James. James chapter 2. Do you realize or do you remember that even the devils believe in God? James says it this way, James 2:19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." It's a good thing that you believe that there is one God. But he says the devils also believe and tremble. And so the myriads of people that you encounter that says, "I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God," you do well to believe in God. We want you to believe in God. But a simple faith in the existence of God is not sufficient to take you to heaven. Jesus said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." And I could mention the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. They all believed in Jehovah. They followed after Yahweh. They attended to the things of Moses. They had the forms of religion. But they rejected Jesus Christ and they had him executed. Turn, if you would, to one last example of so-called believers, and this is in Matthew chapter 7. Many of you perhaps could have guessed that I would have made reference to this passage, but we find a statement by the Lord Jesus Christ as he disciples these people. And he says in Matthew chapter 27, or 7 rather, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." You might say that you know me, and you might have done some work supposedly in my name, but I never knew you. And so we know by just these examples that I've offered unto you, and there are other examples, and of course there are many positive examples, but the New Testament tells us there are people who have what they call belief. They say they have faith, but they do not. Jesus said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." So what do we find then, following up upon these examples? Turn, if you would, to the book of John, the 3rd chapter. "I submit unto you that belief is the key element." Belief is the key element. Belief or faith is essential in the matter of salvation. John chapter 3, very familiar passage, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice the object of the belief. Whosoever believeth in him. Verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36. John chapter 3. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 10. While you're turning over there, think about what we just read. Is it entirely possible for people to have a simple belief in the existence of God, and you ask them, "Do you believe that God exists?" And they say, "Yes." "You believe there's a God in heaven?" "Yes." But if they do not believe in the Son, what did we just read in those 3 verses? You do not believe in the Son. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you do not have eternal life. I have an acquaintance of mine that I've known for many years now who believes in God, who does not believe in Jesus Christ. He does not believe that he's the Messiah, doesn't believe that he's the Son of God, doesn't believe that he's the Savior of the world, but he believes in God. Do I think for a moment that he is saved and forgiven of his sins? Not for one second. Faith is the element, but it depends on what kind of faith you have. A lot of people have faith, a lot of people believe, but what are they believing? Romans chapter 10, where I've invited you to turn. In verse 9, the Apostle Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Must believe. You must have faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, as well as Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Salvation, my friend, is possible through faith. There is no other way. And I would remind you what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as we're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. But listen in verse 6, it says, "But without faith, It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Belief is absolutely essential in salvation. But I have to qualify that, because belief must be in the right object. We read in John, believe on Him, believe in Him. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the object of your belief. What are you believing in? Some people believe that baptism gets them to heaven. Well, if I just go through the waters of baptism, so they're believing that the water can take away their sin. Well, they have faith, but they have faith in the wrong object. Does that make sense? Some will say, well, I can get to heaven by my good works. I just live a good life. I'll treat my neighbor right. I'll do the best I can, and God will understand, and God will let me in. What's the object of their faith? It's their own self-righteousness. I have faith that I can do these things and I can accomplish these things. But if you have not the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't believe in Him, you do not have eternal life. And so it's absolutely essential that when you think about this matter of salvation, and I trust you recognize you're a sinner, you're doomed and damned, and you're condemned to a devil's hell, that you need a Savior and you need forgiveness of sins, you need to recognize that that salvation is only available through Jesus Christ. He is the right object. I mean, there are many in our society that believe that they can get to their heaven by blowing themselves up. If they become martyrs, well, they might have faith, but it's not in the right object. And you might have all the faith in the world to believe what you believe. And you say, well, I believe it, and that's what I've always known, that's what I've always been taught. If you do not have faith in the right object, and the object is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah who should come into the world, the Savior that takes away the sin of the world, if you do not have faith in Him, then you do not have saving faith. And you say, but I believe in God. That's good. You do believe in God. The devils believe in God. But also, when I think about this matter, that belief is the key element. Not only is it essential in salvation that it must have the right object, but in the third aspect, I believe it must be knowledgeable. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. But I'm absolutely convinced that the faith that is essential for salvation, you have to have at least a basic understanding of the truth. Paul said, and we sang that song just a few moments ago, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Well, that's right out of the Scriptures in 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and in verse 12, the last part of the verse, the Apostle Paul says that. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You see, we talk about we have a hope of heaven. Now, what kind of hope is that? Is that a hope that is just a wishful thinking? Well, I hope I get to heaven. Or is it a hope that's based upon something that's foundational? I have a hope in heaven based upon Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made and the salvation He has given to me. I have a hope in heaven. There's a grand difference between wishful hope and a hope that has a foundation. And there's a grand difference between faith and faith with a foundation. In other words, and you can do this to children. Children are very easily led, and you can tell them about anything, and they'll believe it just about. And, well, they don't have any reason to believe that at all. It's just, well, mommy told me, so that's the case. I remember many, many, many years ago when my boys were very, very young, my dad and my stepmother came to visit at our house one time, and my dad, he's all, I wish you knew, had time to have known my dad more, but my dad was just the kind of character and his humor and all that. And when I was growing up, my dad used to blow up his arm through his thumb. Do you remember that? I mean, some of you younger people might not do that, but back in the old days, you know, I mean, he'd pull up his arm right there and he'd put his mouth on his thumb, you know, and he'd start puffing into his thumb, and then he'd flex his bicep, you know. So it looked to us like he was blowing up his arm. Well, if you've never seen it, you just have to see it to believe it. But my dad would do that. He would do that all the time. And so they were down here visiting, and of course my boys were very, very young, and Ryan was probably like 6 or 7 or something like that, and my dad did that. And he took out his, rolled up his sleeve and blew in his thumb and fucked up his bicep, and my son just went, ooh, ooh. Wow, Grandpa's strong. And my stepmother, you know, Grandma says to him, oh, yeah, he's strong. He can lift up this house. And Ryan was, ooh. I mean, he believed it. And the dad couldn't lift up the house, of course. And he had no foundation for that. He just simply believed it. And I know that faith is faith, and we do need to believe. But I'm absolutely convinced that belief in Jesus Christ as Savior has to have some type of foundation. You have to have some sort of understanding. I think you have to have at least a simple comprehension that you're a sinner. I think you have to have an understanding that you're lost and undone and you can't fix it. And you have to have a simple understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. He is who He said He was. You don't have to be a theologian. And you don't have to have Scripture memorized. But this business of just saying, well, you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, yeah. And, well, just ask Jesus into your heart. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know anything about heaven. They don't know their sinners or why they would even ask Him to begin with. But they're on board with it. I don't believe that for a second. And I don't think that's genuine salvation. And so I think that's why we find the examples that I gave to you that were very negative. Well, that's the result of that, some of that kind of thing. I believe that actual belief, genuine belief, is going to have some knowledge about it. Some basic concept and understanding. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Well, we read in the text where Jesus said in John chapter 14 and in verse 1, He says, you believe in God, believe also in Me. Believe also in Me. Who should be the focus of our attention? It is Jesus Christ. We say we believe. Well, you say, well, you're supposed to believe on God. Well, I do. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is God. I have no problem with that. But our focus is upon Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to make a distinction. If you have a simple faith in the existence of God, that is insufficient for eternal life. You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focus. And so with that basic understanding, you're going to have that some sort of awareness of who He is. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son of God. Do you believe that? My friend does not, but he believes in God. My friend is not saved if he believes that, because he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. I think you need to be aware of who He is. And so... when I talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, I try to tell them very simple terms. Jesus is God's Son, God manifest in the flesh. And He is pure, He is righteous, He is holy, He has all the character attributes because He is God. I think you need to be aware of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also need to be aware of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that He has done? And so we tell people about Jesus and that He's the Son of God, but what did He do? He lived a perfect life. He was crucified as a sinner, though He never sinned. And so He hung on the cross, and He bore the sins of many upon Himself as He hung upon the cross. And we can say, He died for sinners. And that's absolutely a grand statement. What did Jesus do? He was crucified, buried, and risen again that I might have eternal life. That's the truth of the matter. And so I have to have an understanding a little bit about who this person is. Yes, he is the God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son of God. And He died on the cross for me that I might have eternal life. And by the way, I would also submit that you have to have some awareness that He is still alive. What He is still doing. In fact, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's not in the grave anymore, but He is alive. And so with this simple faith, we focus upon Jesus Christ, and we encourage people to trust in Christ. And so I don't tell people from the pulpit or in private. I do not tell people, come join the church. I do not tell them to come get baptized or live a good life or treat your neighbor right. I point them to Jesus Christ, and I point out that Jesus Christ is God, and He died for us that we might have eternal life. And in simple faith, if you'll repent and believe on Him, you can be saved. I make it very clear today that Jesus Christ is our only access for heaven. Some people will say, well, there are many religions throughout the world. different gods and different goddesses. We're all going to the same God, but by different paths. No, we're not. There's one God. And one ruler over heaven and earth. That's the true God. And there's one Son, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. I know that's offensive. I know that's not politically correct. I know that I've just offended a lot of people that would hear this on the internet. But you know what? It's nonetheless true. Because Jesus is our focus. Jesus is our key. You must believe on Him. So there in John chapter 14, you skip down to verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. How much clearer does that need to be? No man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. No man. None. Over in the book of Acts, in chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We read in verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's clear. There is no other name. It's not Muhammad, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Shinto. It's Jesus, my friend. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved through Jesus Christ, because there's none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the focus. He is the key. That's the object of our faith. We believe in Jesus. And so in Hebrews chapter 7, let me share with you what it says in verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. The Word of God says, wherefore He, talking about Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ right now is in heaven, interceding for His people. He ever lives. And I have eternal life based upon the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to John 5 if you departed from there. John chapter 5. Jesus said, believe also in Me. And so I encourage you, my friend, to examine your heart, examine your life. Who is the object of your faith? It could be a man, it could be a preacher, it could be a church, it could be some element of work, it could be some other professed Messiah. But there's only one true Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus says, and the Father Himself, which hath sent Me, hath borne witness of Me. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, Him you believed not. What's the problem? They won't believe in Christ. So in verse 40, He says, and you will not come to Me that you might have life. My friend, if you will not come to Christ, you will not have life. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we learn. So over in the book of John chapter 10, John 10, and in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the door. I believe in God. That's nice. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? He is the door. He is the Savior. And so then, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm absolutely convinced by the authority of the Word of God. I just share one verse here, though. And what we've been talking about is this matter of believing. I offered you some examples of New Testament believers that weren't really believers. They say they were, but they really were not genuine. We mentioned how that belief is the key element, that genuine faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so We just mentioned some verses about believing in Christ. He alone is the Savior. But I'm absolutely convinced as well that belief which saves will change lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm never convinced by anybody's testimony that they believe in God and that they believe in Jesus Christ and there's no difference in their life. That doesn't convince me. Not that I have to be convinced. But if any man be in Christ, if he's truly born again, I'm not saying they'll be perfect, but there'll be a difference. And there'll be a change. Why? Because there's a new life inside. It says we're new creatures in Christ. Everything old has passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christ comes, lives in our heart. And you cannot be that way anymore. I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And I know that we can appeal to sinners and say, "You can come as you are." I have no problem with that invitation statement. But you, if you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, you cannot stay as you are. There will be a difference. There will be a change. And it might take some time in some people and longer than others and all that. But God will work His work in you and you will be drawn to sanctification and righteousness. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ. And yet, I submit unto you, you can rub elbows with people at work and in the schools and in the community and in your families that believe in God and even make, and some of them even make a profession of Jesus Christ, and there is zero evidence of change in their heart and life. And you know it. You've seen it for years. And yet, you cannot convince them that they're lost. I worked with a guy up in Ohio and worked with him for 2 years. He worked in the machine next to my workstation. And I had plenty of time to talk to that guy. And he visited church on several occasions. And I witnessed to that guy and witnessed to that guy and witnessed to that guy. I could never convince him he was lost. But he had zero evidence other than he would just say, "Yeah, I was saved." That's the only thing he could say that about salvation. "I was saved." No evidence whatsoever. And even when I challenged him, "Okay, if you're saved, then you know your life's out of whack. You need to make things right with God." That didn't convince him either. He still did everything that he always did. Isn't that sad? There are many people running around today. They have faith in God. And that's all there is. And they think they're okay. And there are those that have faith in God and they believe in Jesus Christ, but they really don't. They never really understood. Somebody just convinced them of something. And they really never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and are lost. How tragic. How tragic. True, genuine, saving faith will change your life. It just will. "You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. So let me offer you a few thoughts in closing. I think it's necessary that a self-examination be done. You should ask yourself, "Do I really believe in God?" And hopefully your answer will always be yes. It's good to believe in God. But then I have to take that a step further. Ask yourself, "Do I believe in His Son?" And that was some basis of knowledge, you know, some sort of comprehension about who that Son is. "Do I believe in Jesus Christ?" And so I challenge you today, search your heart. Do you believe in God? Well, if you believe in Him, believe in the Son. That's what Jesus said. Believe in Him. And there might be well some for to ask the question, "Am I a victim of high pressure evangelism?" You know what I mean by that, don't you? Somebody just keeps bothering you until you make a profession in order to get them off your back. And I've known of several of those through my lifetime where I've encountered people and they said, I said, "Well, I heard you walked tonight." He said, "Yeah, I did that just because they kept bothering me. I just figured I'd go forward so they'd leave me alone." High pressure evangelism produces false professions of faith. Really does. And they'll say they believe, but they really don't believe. They're no different than when they left out of that pew. They just want you to leave them alone. And some might have to ask that question, "Am I a victim of high pressure evangelism?" And some might have to ask the question, "Am I a victim of easy believism?" "Will you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Well, yeah, nobody wants to go to hell. Not very, very many do." And they'll go, "Yeah, I believe." "Do you really believe?" You have to ask yourself these questions. You have to examine yourself. And if I should ask you what's your testimony of salvation, you say you're going to heaven when you die, and I ask you, well, how do you know you're going to heaven when you die? If the first words out of your mouth is, I went forward during the invitation, then there's something wrong. I know that's not popular. But we need to understand it's more than just going forward. I went forward. But I wasn't saved because I went forward. I'm saved because Jesus Christ came into my heart and I believed on Him and He saved me. He gave me eternal life. But along that same line, we have the same idea. I raised my hand. Raised my hand. And I've seen that happen to more than I care to see. Want to go to heaven when you die? People raise hands. I repeated a prayer. That's the first words out of your mouth. Well, I prayed. Well, what'd you pray? You could have prayed anything. Bless this bunch as we munch on a lunch. Well, what'd you pray? What'd you pray? Now, you can ask Jesus to come in your heart. Nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that. But what'd you pray? And I've seen people repeat prayers and raise hands. And I've seen workers say, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. And they weren't saved any more than the man in the moon. What a tragedy. Sometimes you'll encounter people and you'd ask them about their faith. And they say, well, I've always believed. No, you haven't. But they don't know how to answer it. So they say, well, I've always believed. Well, what have you believed? What have you always believed? And then you talk to people and I'll ask them, do you know where you're going when you die? I believe in God. That's their answer. I believe in God. Where do we start from the beginning of this message? Simple faith in the existence of God is not sufficient to carry you to heaven. So you believe in God. The devils believe and tremble. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. I point you to Jesus Christ. The question is, have you repented and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you have enough sense to know you were a sinner? Did you have enough sense to recognize that Jesus was God's Son? He died on the cross for sinners, was buried and risen again, and He will give eternal life to all who would call upon Him. Did you have enough understanding to do that and respond to Jesus knowledgeably? So I submit to you today here, if you're lost, you need Jesus, and He's the only Savior. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. I can't save you. This church can't save you. You must believe, and you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear sinner, I point you to Jesus. And we'll be glad to show verses to you. We'll be glad to talk to you. We'll be glad to instruct you to the best of our ability. But when it all boils down to it, in the end, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not say, I believe in God, that's enough. It isn't. It isn't. And those of us who are saved, oh, might we be encouraged for the salvation we have. We search our hearts. We know that we're saved. He's given us eternal life. Thank God for that. And then let us be a witness and make sure when we witness that we make sure we tell people. We tell them the truth and we tell them about Jesus so that they might have an understanding, at least enough, to embrace Christ. And that Christ will change their lives forever and give them eternal life. Jesus Christ, He is the Savior. Believing. Believing. What do you believe? Who do you believe in? It better be Jesus. I pray that God speak to your heart. God would search your heart that you would know. So that Christian, you'd have an assurance of your salvation. And lost person, that you'd recognize, hey, I've never really trusted Jesus. And maybe you do that today. Let's stand and we'll sing. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Bless your word to our hearts. Work in our spirits by your Spirit. We ask you to grant repentance and faith to the lost that they might be saved. Give them life, Lord, that they would come to you. And we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have. Thank you for Jesus, what He's done for us, and the salvation we have in Him. We give you the honor and the glory. Help us to learn this lesson well, that we believe in God. We need to also believe in Jesus. So thank you for saving us. We pray for the lost that they might recognize this truth and be genuinely saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Songs number 331.